You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. We're going to talk in a few minutes to the three winning designers for the idea of how people can eat outside during the winter, stay warm, and all of that. But before that, we say hello to Sam Toya, the president of the Illinois Restaurant Association. Sam, welcome to the Afternoon News.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
All right, so are you going to sit in a little box during the winter and have your dinner?
I will definitely try it. You know, we're very, very happy that we have three winners today. You know, you'll be talking to the designers that designed them, from the cozy cabins to the block party to the heated tables. It's very exciting. Every little bit helps. But as you all know, and your listeners know, Steve, the restaurant industry has been hemorrhaging out here for the last 6 months. We're very happy that the mayor moved to 40% capacity for indoor dining and allow liquor sales to go to 1 a.m., we're hoping to get to 50% capacity by the end of October, as long as we keep the positivity rate below 5.0. We always care about the health and safety of our team members and guests at all times. But this winter design contest, it's another, you know, step. It's a good step. It's a step in the right direction to help our restaurants and our 77 communities here in the city of Chicago.
Do you foresee them being used widely, or is this more publicity just to draw attention to the restaurants and the need for innovation for them?
Well, you know, we'll see as we move forward. We'll be working with community groups and local chamber of commerce where we'll be putting these, you know, cozy cabins and the block party and the heated table designs as we move forward here. You know, we're very grateful to BMO Harris and IDEO and the city of Chicago for working with us. Every little bit helps. But really what we really need is help on the federal government level. You know, we saw that they passed out of the House, Speaker Pelosi passed out of the House the HEROES Act, but within that HEROES Act, there was the Restaurant Act, and there was $120 billion there for independent restaurants to get grants. We in the city of Chicago are a very independent restaurant city. We're not like, you know, Tampa or Houston. We're a very independent restaurant city. We are the largest private sector employer here in the state of Illinois. That would have went a long way to helping our 7,300 restaurants here in the city of Chicago and our 25,000 throughout the state of Illinois. But that got stuck. So, you know, we're hoping that the president comes back to the table, maybe talks about, you know, getting another round of PPP funding and expanding an employee retention tax credit. Because 86% of the restaurants out here, Steve, for 2020 are not going to make a profit. So, you know, they're talking about we could lose 20% of our restaurants here in the city of Chicago. That would be up to 1,500 restaurants. So if we don't get a stimulus bill, that could go up to 30% or 40%.
Four in ten restaurants could be closed by the end of the year, you're saying?
Yes, especially if the federal government doesn't come up with the HEROES Act, another stimulus bill that helps the restaurant community. We call it the Restaurant Act. That's what we're trying to work on. We've been working very, we've been communicating a lot with our senators, Senator Durbin, Senator Duckworth. We've been talking with Congressman Quigley, Congressman Garcia, Congressman Rush. So we've been reaching out to all our federal elected officials to let them know that the largest private sector employer here in the state of Illinois, the restaurants, need help.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question that I don't know if the leader of the Illinois Restaurant Association wants to answer or might be uncomfortable at any rate. When the restaurants first started opening again, we made reservations at one, and they called us back and said, you know what, we just had someone test positive. The health department says we could stay open, but out of abundance of caution, we're going to shut down. That was early on. Have there been many instances of outbreaks or situations at restaurants that you're aware of?
No, not that I'm aware of. 99% of the restaurants are doing everything right out here. Social distancing, wearing masks, because, you know, covered faces keep open places, sanitizers around, washing their hands. We're a highly regulated industry. We have the health department visit us. We have the building departments visit us. Business affairs visits us. We know how to do this right. We're not one of the most highly regulated businesses, industries out there besides hospitals.
Sam Toya, listen, thanks very much for taking time. I appreciate it. And maybe I'll see you out to dinner this weekend.
That sounds great. Thanks, Steve. Thanks to your listeners, too.
You bet. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. Let's get a look at traffic and weather. Here's Mary Vandeveld.
WGN.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. Okay, we just heard from Sam Toya about these winners. I think they each get $5,000 for the way to design a way to eat outside in the winter. I'm thrilled to have a chance to talk to each of the three. We're going to start with Nicole Grillet, who is with ASD Sky, and her team created Cozy Cabins. Nicole, welcome to WGN.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
You bet. Okay, so tell me about Cozy Cabins. I'm looking at a picture of it here from the city's The Challenge website. It looks like a series of, this is the one that would fit in a parking space, correct?
That's right. Exactly.
Explain it for me.
Sure. Cozy Cabins, we were trying to develop an idea. Part of the challenge was to create a solution that kind of was feasible from a small shop owner in maybe a neighborhood that kind of, it wasn't exactly restaurant row, right? You might have a shop on the corner or a couple of shops dotting the street. Or, it could very well be, in the heart of Chicago in the finest restaurant in town. We were kind of looking for some sort of solution that could span those two experiences and create an environment that was attractive. And it wasn't kind of overly spendy or overly complicated, right?
So what's the exterior made of?
Go ahead.
What's the exterior made of?
So the exterior and the components that kind of make this thing up is really kind of a Home Depot kind of a thing. So we really tried to use materiality that was based on plywood, sheet metal, and it's just a wood frame construction. And then we did have the idea of using radiant heat on the flooring, so it would actually heat it from the feet,
okay,
which would be a little bit more efficient than trying to heat, just airspace above your head. And that way you could kind of vent the top of it, so there's always good air circulation and kind of the ability to create air movement, which everybody's looking for right now, but keeping everything still warm and inviting.
And so if fits in a parking spot, that seems kind of tight. There'd be a table of four, I guess, fits in there?
Yeah, so let me kind of describe a little bit what we're going for here. I think the thing that got us excited about this competition in general, and certainly how we approach design with our company as well, that, we kind of do everything from architecture, interiors, graphics, and landscape, and we kind of put our heads together and thought what would get people out of their house and looking for an experience. I think anybody could kind of throw a vinyl tent around some tables that are spaced apart and throw a couple of heaters in there.
Right.
But our thought is, how are you creating a human experience? How are you creating connection? How are you creating community? And how are you kind of telling the story of the neighborhood and kind of reconnecting us all together through a shared experience?
Well, I love the look of it, Nicole, and I wish you success, right? The idea is that people will buy the design and develop them?
Yeah, so they're looking at prototyping this, and just maybe to better answer your question, those are repetitive, so you could buy one, you could buy three, you could buy 10, just kind of module, and each one's its little, it's based on a Scandinavian ice fishing hut. And it's just the idea that you have one group of people in each, and it could be lounge furniture, it could be a booth, it could be a table, it could be, it could really be anything. It's kind of a choose-your-own-adventure.
Looks fantastic, Nicole. Thanks for joining us, explaining, and good luck to you.
Of course, thank you.
Okay, we're going to go from the cozy cabin to the heated table. Ellie Henderson is on a phone line as well, and Ellie comes to us she's the designer of heated tables, which, Ellie, welcome to WGN.
Hi, thank you very much.
I did not know until I started reading about your idea that the heated tables are common in Japan.
Yeah, that's right. So they call it a kotatsu table, and it's pretty common. Like most households will have one of these, and so that, generally it's quite a low table, so they'll sit on the floor, which is customary in Japan. And it has a special heater that's attached to the underside of the table. And then usually the table is like a special design, so it allows for a blanket to kind of go over the top, which drapes to the ground, and the heat is captured underneath.
You're a winner, and I'm no designer, so I can't really criticize, but this is great for the waist down. How about from the waist up, the people would be outside?
Yeah, so okay. I guess, we want to like encourage people to dress warm, and also think about like outdoor. There might need to be some supplementary heaters to complement the warmness under the table. But it's actually really surprising how warm you feel when half of your body is and like your feet are heated as well. So,
Congratulations! That's a cool idea, and I wish you great success.
Thank you.
And we're going to wrap things up with Neil. Neil, is it Rindell? Neil, are you there?
Yeah, Rindell.
Rindell, okay. And he developed Block Party, which seems to be a little like Cozy Cabins, but not. Explain Block Party for me.
Yeah, so my teammate, Flo Metatel, and myself kind of came up with this notion of, you know, kind of Legos or blocks for adults in a way. We very much kind of looked at this idea from some research I had done with a colleague back in 2015 of this kind of taking a kiosk and how do you cut it in slices like pieces of bread, and then you know, kind of how do you evolve that into something where you can essentially program a restaurant dining experience. So the idea is more or less that you have a, you know, one table seats two people typically, and that's very much what the frames kind of represent. And the idea is that kind of very similar to a train car, you could move them and relocate them and fasten them together. So if you arrive at a restaurant and there's more than two of you, you know, let's say party of four, party of six, you can customize the dining experience. And then at the end of the day, compact all of them down and it would sit kind of safely and securely in a parking spot outside of a restaurant.
So at the end of the day, you could just fold them up?
Not necessarily fold, but they would kind of compress.
Okay, I see. And ideally, where would this be used? In like the Randolph Street area, or a restaurant in the neighborhood that's going to put one of these outside, or how does that work?
The idea would be that they would probably come in at least packs of two or three.
Okay.
But the goal is that we would be able to distribute them to different neighborhoods as, you know, they were interested. They're meant to kind of be customizable, have decals, and we really would want, or our hope at least, is that each neighborhood could kind of take ownership of it and, you know, graffiti or art or, you know, kind of put their own kind of spin
on the
exterior shell.
So what's next step then? You're looking for buyers, you're looking for developers. How does this work?
That's a great question. we're, as far as we understand, there's more info to come, but we haven't gotten any confirmation on that yet. But
okay.
Our hope is that, you know, sometime this year or beginning of next year, we might be seeing these out in the street somewhere.
Yeah, I it seems like a great idea. Are there uses for, I'm trying to think if there's a reason to use this other than eating outside in the winter.
Also, yeah, one of the things we kind of explored was, and it was, you know, conceptually, the form is very much circumstantial. It was more about the idea and the execution of these kind of two-seat modules and how they compact.
Mm-hmm.
We had studied kind of hexagons, octagons, and squares just seemed easier, especially in kind of selling the idea of a block party. But generally, the hope is that we could use them, you know, because they're small and they create these edge conditions, you could put them around and kind of create spaces. So in, you know, if a restaurant's next to a plaza, you can kind of create, you know, contain an area. Maybe you string across a white sheet and you can project a movie on one. Maybe it lays down and becomes a seating element. We're really kind of hoping to maybe explore what that means outside of winter, you know, come summer.
Neil Rindell is a designer at Perkins & Will and one of the three winners. Neil, congratulations. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
You bet. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News on 720 WGN.